Let's take our Bibles this evening. We're going to open God's Word at the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 14. I would have you turn to Numbers chapter 14 tonight, just to get the background to our message. And as we read here from verse 26 down to 35, let's consider the Word of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. We'll end our reading there, then turning over to the Psalms, turning over to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. This psalm, which is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen. And may we know the Lord's blessing upon the reading of his word this night. And may this prayer of Moses be our prayer tonight as we come to consider God's word, that the Lord and his work would appear unto us, and that the beauty, the splendor, the pleasantness of the Lord would be our portion. We would find grace and favor in his house tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we come to this word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come now to the open book, and we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to your truth. Lord, there is great instruction here for us. We need to be taught of thee. We thank thee for your abounding grace, Lord, grace that is greater than all our sin. We know that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would indeed rule and reign. We long for the reign of grace in the hearts of men. And we pray that you would rule in our hearts, Lord, that our hearts would be your throne, and that you would govern us and guide us in the way that we should go. Lead us on with yourself. We thank thee for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for justification by faith. We're accepted in the Beloved this night. And Lord, we can rest in thee. And we pray now that as we come to this word, your Spirit would write the word upon our hearts, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, teach us thy way. Unite our heart to fear thy name, so that we will walk in thy truth evermore. Hear us now, we pray, and continue with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 90 bears the title, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. This being a prayer of Moses is indeed, it makes it the oldest psalm. Moses himself was an old man. At this time, his journey on earth was near an end. He had traveled through the wilderness with this people, and he knows that his time is short. But the man of God, he offers his prayer to God. Prayer is indeed a true characteristic of the man of God. Here is one who is a man of God. He belongs to God. He was chosen by God. He is faithful to God. He is approved by God. He is honored by God. He is a man of God. And that is evident because here he brings his prayer to the Lord God. Near the end of his days, and yet as he begins to reflect, he is led to the place of prayer. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. This prayer of Moses is a prayer for a number of things. It's a prayer for strength. Strength to persevere to the end. It's a prayer for renewed joy. It's a prayer for progress in the work of God. It is indeed especially a prayer for the rising generation. Moses is concerned for the youth, for the young who have grown up in the congregation. And he's concerned that they would go on with God. And so this is a prayer for renewed joy, and especially the joy of seeing children going on with God. He concludes the psalm here in verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord be on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And it's obvious that he's praying out of concern for young people, that God be merciful to the rising generation. Why does he pray in this fashion? Well, Just consider the background of this psalm. We were reading something of the solemn, the serious background of this psalm in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 14. The scene is set. The background of this psalm is one of affliction, one of grief, one of sorrow. As a disobedient people, an evil generation, fall in the wilderness, they are chastened and they are taken because of their sin. And there's a great cloud over Israel, a great cloud over Moses, the man of God. And it is believed that this psalm was penned upon the occasion of sentence passed upon Israel for their unbelief and their consequent departure from God. Their forefathers failed to lead by example. Their murmuring and rebellion brought them to the place of grief. They would be consumed in the wilderness. And Moses witnessed a whole generation die in that wilderness. They were taken because of their sin. No doubt, brokenhearted, he himself lived with the grief of a generation sentenced and consumed by the Lord for their sin. And so this psalm is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. But this psalm really is, we could say, his personal reaction in a time of great crisis. His concern is for the rising generation. It's the cycle of life. One generation passes away, another continues on. And really, Moses is counting on the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, to help the rising generation. This psalm certainly reminds us that everything around us is continually changing, moving, even as we were hearing this morning. Change and decay in all around we see, but for the people of God there is a glorious inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. But here, below, change and decay in all around we see, continual movement, change, everything is passing away. And so, in a decaying and a dying world, we need to be like Moses. We need to find refuge for our souls in the eternal God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place, our habitation, our refuge in all generations. God is true. God is the unchanging God, and God must be our dwelling place. And that's where this psalm begins. At home with the Lord, abiding in his presence. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. He's resting in the Lord God. And the first thing he points out here is the reality of who God is. The reality of who God is, the eternity of God. He is the eternal God who is from everlasting to everlasting. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the Lord had framed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The eternal, immutable God is the dwelling place of his people. He's the dwelling place to every generation. The eternal God must be our refuge. We are reminded of that in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the verse 27. And in that occasion we read, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms of God. God is a refuge for his people. He is the eternal God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Without beginning, without end, the self-existent one, which is, which was, and which is to come. He is the eternal God. And as Albert Barnes said, from duration stretching backward without limit to duration stretching forward without limit, that is, from eternal ages to eternal ages or forever. And the idea is that God always was and ever will be. He is God, thou art God, the only true God, God unchangeable, God eternal. And as God's people, we're resting in Him. You see, generations come and go. That's the background here. A generation passing away. Generations come and go, but the Lord never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the eternal God. And the eternal, immutable God makes Himself to be an abiding place, a habitation, a refuge for man, who, as we read in this place, is frail and full of sin. And though we change and everything around us changes, He is forevermore the same. He always will remain the same. Verse 4 tells us that 1,000 years in God's sight are but as yesterday when it is past. There is a watch in the night. 1,000 years is nothing to God. It's just as yesterday. We have trouble remembering what took place last week. Never mind last month or last year, but 1,000 years, who can recall but for what historians have told us? 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Truly, this is a long stretch of time. Spurgeon said, how much may be crowded into 1,000 years? The rise and fall of empires, the glory and obliteration of dynasties, the beginning and the end of elaborate systems of human philosophy, countless events, all important to households and to individuals, events which elude the pen of historians, yet this period, 1,000 years, is to the Lord as nothing. It's but as yesterday, even as time already gone. He's the eternal God who forever remains the same, and He must be our dwelling place. Every generation represented here must find this God to be their dwelling place. And it was faith in this eternal God that sustained Moses, sustained him in the hour of crisis, in the time of trial. So it will be true for us too. Each generation will find Him to be the same. Merciful God to His people. Moses' prayer here is that the generations to come would enjoy the same mercies and blessings enjoyed by those who went before them. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let thy work appear. Show your glory to the rising generation. We need to have a fresh sight of the Lord continually. That we would be so enamored with the beauty of the Lord, the attractiveness of Christ, that we would be drawn closer and closer to Him. And we would walk with the Lord in our generation. Time is short. We need an eternal refuge. But from this, Moses goes on to speak of the brevity of life. He talks about the eternity of God, but he also speaks in this place about the brevity of life. The brevity of life is contrasted with this eternal unchanging God, the immutable, unchanging God, is here contrasted with created beings who are finite creatures of dust, subject to change continually, unstable as the sea, like waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And so he says here, with regard to our life and the brevity of life in verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. There is a sleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. The frailty of man, the brevity of life. Life is short and uncertain. Man is turned to destruction, he says here in verse 3. That word destruction has the idea of dust, returning to the dust from which we are made. It has the idea of that which is beaten fine or broken small, dust. Dust we are, and to the dust we shall return. We are so frail. We're like the grass that grows up and is cut down in the evening. We die, as we read there in Psalm 104 in verse 29. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. Thou turnest man to destruction, to the dust. The brevity of life. Man passes away. One generation comes and goes, but God continues forever the same. And Matthew Henry said, with regard to the teaching of this psalm, he said, this psalm teaches us. It teaches us to live under a constant apprehension of the shortness and the uncertainty of life and the near approach of death and eternity. It's not a subject we like to think about. It's not a subject people like to talk about. When you confront a person about the needs of their soul and eternal matters and where they will spend eternity and direct them to the Word of God and say to them, you know, it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. They are silent. They don't want to go there. They don't want to think of this time of death. But this psalm really teaches us to live under a constant apprehension of the shortness of life, the uncertainty of life, and how real and near the approach of death and eternity is. It reminds us time is short. Therefore, we must live and work for the Lord. You see here how quickly time passes by. Verse 10, the days of our years. You know, it all boils down to years, months, days, minutes, seconds. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. How quickly life passes by. See the brevity of life here. Soon cut off, and we fly away. We are dust, and to the dust we shall return. Our days upon earth are but a shadow. And so this prayer of Moses here in verse 12, so in light of that truth, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because as the hymn writer said, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. We fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. Just as when you wake up in the morning and you've been dreaming that night, enjoying your rest, you wake up and that dream is gone. You can't remember it. It is forgotten at the opening of the day. So our lives pass by so quickly. And you have a number of illustrations here with regard to the brevity of life. Moses tells us that it is, in verse 4, as a watch in the night. 3 hours in the night, a short span of time. We are carried away as with a flood. Our life is carried away with a flood. It's a passing stream. And the waves of change come over us. It's like a flood that ever rolls on and it is gone. Or it's like that shower of rain that comes down, and when the sun appears, it quickly vanishes. The rains dry up. That's our life. It's like a sleep, he says here in verse 5. They are as asleep. And sometimes you wake up in the morning and you wonder where the night has gone, where the hours have gone. It just seems like you nodded off, and yet you awake, and the night has passed, and the hours have passed. And it seems so short. And you want to lie on, you want to lie in, you want more time. But he says life is like a sleep. It's like a flood. It's like a watch in the night. It's like the grass, a blade of grass. You think of the frailty of a single blade of grass. A blade of grass does not have much growth in a single day. In the morning it grows up. In the evening it is cut down. That's our life. How short our time is. James tells us life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And verse 9 tells us we spend our years as a tale that is told. A tale that is told. The word in the margin is a meditation, a thought. You know how quickly thoughts come in and out of your mind? That's what your life is. That's how quick it goes. Just like that. Passing thoughts, a meditation. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The spending of our years is like a tale, the telling of a tale. Passing away time, telling stories. Some of our years, as Matthew Henry said, they're pleasant stories. Some are tragic stories. Some are mixed, but all are short and transient. And the life which was long in the doing, it may have been 70 years, it may have been 80 years. The life which was long in the doing may be told in a short time, may be summed up very briefly. We spend our years as a tale that is told. It speaks of a rapid consumption of our years. They speedily pass away. As a meditation, as a brief passing thought flashes through our minds, so our years, our days are gone. And that's why it's incumbent upon us to serve the Lord now while we have time. Life passes away rapidly as a thought. It may be long in the living, but it is short in the telling. It is brief. And we are frail creatures of dust. But we must use our energies, our days, our time in the service of God. But our frailty is not only evident here by the brevity of life, but by our failures, by our sinfulness, by our weakness, by our faults. Verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in light of thy countenance. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. Man's frailty, man's weakness is further highlighted here because of his iniquity. And how are we to progress? How are we to go on? How do we get rid of this sin that turns us from God, as it did in the days of Moses and Israel? Their sin, their murmuring, their rebellion led them away from God. Well, he tells us how. He makes it clear, first of all, that really there is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Our iniquities are before the Lord. Our secret sins are before the Lord. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. As Hebrews 4:13 tells us, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we know our sins, we see our sins. Our sins are often before us. But this is a psalm of instruction. And we need the instruction of this psalm because it teaches us, and he's asking for instruction. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. And we're not only taught here to acknowledge God as the sovereign God who is over all generations and stand in awe of him, of his power. He does his pleasure. None can stay his hand or say to the Lord, what doest thou? He's the sovereign God who is over all. And we are taught that in this psalm. He's a dwelling place in all generations. But it also teaches us to acknowledge our sins and to penitentially submit to the Lord Christ. That's what Moses is doing here. He's acknowledging the sins of the people. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. And so we need the instruction of this psalm if we are to progress and to rise and to go on in this generation. This is the only way forward. To confess our faults to the Lord, to confess our sins. Because we know if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can go forward. It wasn't until David confessed his sin in Psalm 51. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And he cried to the Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And then having cried to the Lord, it says, then shall he teach transgressors. Then there is an opportunity for service. Then he goes on with God. And so it is with us. And we are taught here to seek God early, to seek him for mercy. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. We are called to number our days, to reckon or to consider how short our time is, how brief life is. We are called to a consideration of our own ways, to acknowledge our sins, to recognize that we are frail creatures of dust, sinful creatures, and without God we can do nothing. And great changes come in a short time. But we need to be about the Master's business. The psalmist David in Psalm 39 in the verse 4, this was his desire with regard to the number of his days. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end. In the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, and how frail I am. Or, if you like, what time I have here. See, recognizing our frailty, recognizing how short our time is, we are to give ourselves to the service of the Lord. He says in that place in verse 5, behold, our days are as an hand's breadth. An hand's breadth. That's the smallest natural measure, if you like. The hand's breadth, the foot, the cubit, it's the hand's breadth. It's but a short span of time. We are so frail. But if we are to number our days, we need this instruction. We need God to teach us. He says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us how to use our time wisely, profitably, for the glory of God. How we are to live, we need to be taught of God. That we would walk circumspectly. That we would redeem the time because the days are evil. We would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We need this wisdom, this instruction. And where do we find the answers to all these things? The remedy for sin. We seek God early for mercy. We recognize that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wisdom, there is righteousness, there is sanctification, there is redemption, there is everything that we need. That's what Christ has made unto us. And as we rest in the eternal God, who is our refuge, we can know him to be these things to us: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So you have the illustrations here, the brevity of life. You have the instruction that is needed. But I think when you recognize this is a time of personal crisis for Moses, it's a time when he comes to evaluate things. He comes to evaluate his life and his days and the point of it all. We often find ourselves in a time of great trial, reevaluating life, do we not? Why are we here? Where are we going? Remember the disciples in the time of crisis in John 14, with all their questions, their troubles. Christ was leaving them. One would betray them. One would deny them. And they had all these questions. Whither goest thou? How can we know the way? How is it the Lord will reveal himself to us? And they're reevaluating things. And the Lord in that occasion gives them eternal answers. Answers that speak to eternal things. And so it is with us. In a time of crisis, we have these questions. We are reevaluating life in a time of crisis, just like Moses. We need to take stock, number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. In the day of trouble, we are brought to ponder the first principles. We are brought to a consideration of our own ways, to consider our chief end and our purpose, our reason for living, that the beauty of the Lord would be upon us, establish the work of our hands, that his glory would appear. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And perhaps this is the greatest reason why God allows trials, that we would be brought to our knees, bow before him, evaluate our own estate, evaluate our walk with him, see where we are with God, and go on with him, considering the questions of life, its meaning, its purpose, its end, resolving to go on with God, to live for his eternal glory, the beauty of the Lord upon us. For of him, to him, through him, are all things. All things are created by him and for him. And we are to serve him. And this psalm, in conclusion, reminds us not only of the eternity of God and the brevity of life, but it reminds us of our responsibility before God and the opportunity we have to live for the beauty and the glory of the Lord, to serve him, to enjoy him. You look at verse 14 to the end. Satisfy us with thy mercy early, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We would enjoy the Lord, glory in the Lord, serve the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why the Lord has called us. And so in conclusion, just to wrap up, what's the application of this psalm and this word to our hearts tonight? Well, there are a number of applications. And let me just leave them with you as we close. The first thing we have to take note of, number one, in a dying world, we need God to be our refuge, a very present help in the time of need. Secondly, in the day of calamity or the day of crisis, we must consider our ways and turn to the Lord. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Furthermore, the Lord would have us see here that earthly sorrows, grief, trials often prepare the way for future joy and blessing. The blessing of the rising generation. And again, we need to see the power of God. We need God to do a great work in us. if we are going to do his good pleasure and bring honor to his name. Time is short. We are called to live for God. There must be that resolve to go on with God, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We want to make every day count for Jesus. Number your days. Apply your heart to wisdom. Don't you want your life to count for God? Young people, this is a word for the rising generation. Don't waste your life. Guard your steps. Flee unrighteousness. Be like Timothy, who also had that title above him, the man of God. Thou man of God, flee fornication, unrighteousness. Follow after righteousness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't waste your life. May the Lord then teach us to number our days. May he show us his glory. May the beauty of the Lord be upon us. May he establish the work of our hands. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to thee this night, and we thank thee for this day, the Lord's day, that 1 in 7 set aside, whereby we can come into thy presence and worship thee. Lord, we pray that we would go in the strength of this meat, that we would indeed serve the Lord with gladness. Help us to number our days, that we would not be distracted by the cares and the temptations of this life and of this world, but that we would live for the glory and honor of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, be our dwelling place. May we abide in you and you abide in us. Lord, we thank thee for the abiding Spirit who dwells within every child of God. There is that union, there is that intimacy. Our hearts, his dwelling place. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us in thy way, day by day. Lord, we want to serve thee. We want our time to tell for eternity. Help us to be about the Master's business. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.